This is The Thirsty Developer, episode number 33, for Friday, August 29th, 2008. Women in Technology. This week on The Thirsty Developer, Dave and Larry sit down with four of their coworkers and talk about women in technology. This is Larry and Dave, and we're bringing you a very special Thirsty Developer podcast. We're actually doing this from the Microsoft Experience Studio at the Hotel Saks in downtown Chicago. Our topic today is women in technology, and we're joined by four of our most incredible colleagues here. I'm going to have you guys introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about you and technology. Jennifer, why don't we start with you?
Thank you. My name is Jennifer Marsman, and I'm a developer evangelist with Microsoft. That's a pretty silly title, but all it really means is that I learn Microsoft's new technologies for developers and then go out and talk to people about them. So I speak at conferences and at user groups and also at large corporations. And my background is as a developer, so I actually was a hardcore coder before taking this role, which lends some credibility.
And you actually used to work in Redmond, at Microsoft there.
Yeah, that's right.
We'll talk a little about that as we go along. Next, returning to the show is our old pal, Beth Humphreys, server girl. You've been on talking about virtualization before, but let's refresh the audience in case they didn't listen to that episode.
Yeah, so you actually corralled me and made me sit in and do a podcast with you about virtualization and how to kind of put your developer rig together using our newer virtualization technologies.
But you're actually server girl, so you work with server infrastructure, unlike Jennifer, who's more the developer of the code side of things.
So
right?
I have more of an infrastructure background. Way back in the dark ages, I started off in the help desk and just kind of stuck my nose into the server pieces of the technology and kind of took it from there.
And next we'll introduce Angela Binkowski.
Thanks, Larry. So I'm Angela Binkowski. My role is kind of similar to Jennifer's in that I am a little more developer focused, but my focus is actually on the tools aspect. So my main areas of focus are Team Foundation, Server, Team System, and kind of all the products that fall underneath that. And in terms of my background, I also have a developer focused background. I worked for a small consulting firm in the area for about 8 years, doing everything from coding to database management, requirements, design, testing, kind of the whole gamut. So it kind of worked out perfectly that I would fall into kind of the ALM tool space.
Yeah, and you're in our solutions, organization. So you work with customers, teaching them the value of the products, right?
Exactly. So I go out and do similar types of events where I go out and talk to one customer or I talk to many customers, kind of talking about what our tools are and how they work and how they can help them get stuff done.
And also from our solutions organization, is last but not least, is Rachel McCain. Rachel?
Hi, my name's Rachel McCain. I think I'm the newest member to the group. I joined Microsoft a little over a year ago, and I'm the developer solution specialist, which in plain English means that I sell Visual Studio, Team System, and MSDN. So as Angela is more one-to-many focused, I'm more one-on-one with customers and have those conversations about our tool sets daily.
And your Twitter handle is?
My Twitter handle is SalesGeek.
Yeah, so it's kind of telling there. This podcast was actually inspired as you guys would be wonderful on the show talking about, a variety of things. I know, Angela, we've talked about having you on for ALM. Beth's been on the show. Jennifer, you'd be a fabulous, guest for any developer topic. But we're talking specifically about women in technology. And Jennifer, you kind of inspired this podcast. So why don't you tell us really quickly about the blog series that you've got going?
Well, the blog series was actually inspired by a university student who came up to me at an event. I had been speaking to a crowd of students, and they included mainly young girls, or college girls. And one of them sent me an email, actually found me on Facebook later, and sent me a message saying, I was really inspired by your talk. Thank you so much. And she kind of relayed to me that she was feeling so frustrated and so unmotivated in her career, and just said that she was feeling very disappointed by her peers and her professors, And it was just such a sad email. So I wanted to kind of reach out to her and tell her that there are very many women. And she was asking me specifically for tips and tricks for how do you get through it? How did you get through your college experience? And how did you find a job and find interviews in the workplace? And how did you keep from getting discouraged? So what I really wanted to do was kind of reach out to this girl and see that, you know, help her understand that she's not alone, that there are women out here, and there are women that are incredibly successful in the field. So I started with some of my girlfriends from college that I had worked with, and also a number of the amazing women I had met at Microsoft, a number of the amazing partners I've worked with, I've been lucky enough to work with as a Microsoft employee. So, and then I just kind of asked them the same basic set of questions on how did they get started in computers and that sort of thing. It just kind of inspired a whole series of blog posts.
So actually, that's kind of a good question to kind of lead from there is, let's just kind of go around, you know, the couch here. And how did you get started? I mean, what directed you towards IT or, you know, the field of your choice?
So this is Beth. I actually did not go to college for doing this. I actually wanted to be an environmental political lobbyist. But my dad is an IT manager. And I kind of fell into like a summer internship where he worked with the help desk folks. And I did a lot of their documentation, data entry, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, I've always been into computers in some way or another. So it kind of carried on from there that after I finished school, it was, hey, we've got this part-time job with the help desk. I like to problem solve. And it was just a natural thing for me to do to get into the help desk. I'd already worked with the people. So, and I am very passionate about technology. I'm passionate about learning new technology. I just couldn't resist, I guess.
I got my start actually in high school. I had a wonderful math teacher, Mr. Carlson, and Mr. Carlson noticed that I was, you know, pretty good at math and asked if I'd ever consider taking a programming class. And I had no idea what programming was at that point. I think, and I still think that I thought that an engineer was someone who drove a train. So, but I took the programming class in high school, and I just fell in love with it. It was so amazing to understand the language that a computer speaks and to be able to, you know, tell it what to do.
And what was that language?
Oh, my very first language was actually Pascal.
Oh, okay. Not basic?
No, not basic.
Because I think my first computer class in high school was, you know, the basic, you know, 10, print, Davis, cool, 20.
Yep. You know, I think I think I've written that program too, pretty close. But no, my first language was Pascal.
You wrote Davis Cool too?
Everyone knows Davis Cool. And then I ended up going to college for computer engineering and had a first internship. It was actually at Ford Motor Company. And having the internship was a huge help because when you're actually doing that and then coding every day and seeing what it's like in a work environment, I just knew that this was something I could do for the rest of my life. I found it just so fun.
Angela?
My story, I feel, kind of plays out like a John Hughes film or something like that. I was...
16 Candles or...
Yeah. Well, I...
License to Drive. Let me try to think of some of the other ones here. Oh, go ahead.
Breakfast Club.
There you go.
So I was...
License to Drive was totally not a John Hughes film.
Are you sure about that?
Absolutely.
I might have to call you out on that, by the way.
So I wasn't into computers at all. I was actually kind of on the cheerleader homecoming queen track probably until mid-college, and I didn't quite know what I wanted to do. I did accounting, business. I think I had finally settled on elementary education when my brother sat me down and said, you know, it's real noble that you want to do that, but I think you'd really be great if you would get into computers, even though up to that point I pretty much made fun of him my entire life for spending so much time on the computer and had absolutely no interest in it. So in community college, I took a couple of classes. My first language was also Pascal, and it was just a natural fit, and I fell in love, and that's what I ended up doing for a career. So that was kind of my background.
All right, Rachel, sales geek.
So mine's kind of a random story. I actually didn't even go to college. I'd wanted to go to college to become an English professor and kind of put that on hold because I wasn't sure. And I just started working, doing some things, and I'd met who's now my husband, who worked in an ISP. I just started hanging around the guys over there, ended up getting a job as an admin for the ISP, and just hung around the engineers. And you know, no women hung around at that time with all the engineers. And so any question...
They still don't.
Yeah. So any question I asked, they answered. And lo and behold, soon enough, I'd learned more than I'd ever would have if I'd gone to school. And I moved over into engineering, and I did customer engineering, and slowly but surely sales engineering. And then I went from telecom to the sales fields. And a year and a half ago, I kind of just, after selling consulting, kind of wanted to get back into the more technology side of things, and had an opportunity that landed in my lap that I couldn't walk away from. And I've been loving my job ever since.
Yeah, it's interesting that when I sent out the email, you know, to all four of you, Rachel was the only one who was kind of resisting being on the show. And it's not because you didn't want to be on a podcast, but you actually said, you know, these other ladies are incredible. I just sell. And my response to you was that technology sales is probably even tougher for a woman to break into, you know, and Beth, I would say Beth, it's probably a toss up, you know, because the server, you know, side of things is really male dominated. But I want to point out a couple things. It's interesting, you know, Jennifer, you work with 20, 30 evangelists in the central region. We're all here for our, you know, annual kickoff, you know, of our fiscal year, you know, meeting where we all get together. And there are several women, you know, in the group, you know, Rachel, Angela and all, but you're the only evangelist. You know, how does that make you feel?
Honestly, I don't really think about it that much. I just try to be another person doing their job as best I can. Occasionally, there will be things that are a little bit different. Like if a bunch of people are going out in the evening, you know, I might not feel safe walking around downtown by myself. So little nuances like that, that might make a difference. But other than that, I hopefully, you know, I know all the same things they do, and try not to let it affect anything.
Yeah, I think one of the advantages, I mean, one of the key obvious advantages, if you've ever been to PDC, Tech Ed, you know, or Mix, is, you know, the line in the women's restroom is never a problem, right?
That is true.
But what can we do, you know, as an industry? Because I think this is an industry problem, the fact that it's such a male-dominated field. And here's why I think it's a problem. It's not just that there's, you know, this mismatch between the percentage of women in our population and the percentage of women. That means that we're not tapping our full talent potential. And we're in an industry where we're looking for talent. We're looking for the best and the brightest people. You know, because when I talk to, you know, chief architects and CIOs, they talk about this 100-year backlog that they have of programming projects. You know, so we can always use more people in this field. And I don't think that we're tapping into that. So what can we do as an industry?
I think you're so right. Diversity is so important. And it's not just diversity in the sense that we need, underrepresented genders and underrepresented races in there. But just the fact that if you have a team that contains someone who didn't go to college, someone who learned through the School of Hard Knocks versus someone who was educated at Harvard. If you have the two of them working together, they're going to approach problems in a very different manner. And because you're looking at a larger depth of problems that you're considering before you form a solution or possible solutions, I guess, you're looking at a number of possible solutions, that actually will help you find a better solution by taking into account a wider range of thinking. So yes, diversity is so important. And how do we get there? So the way I really truly broke into programming is I actually enjoyed computer games as a little girl. I used to love the Sierra games, King's Quest. And I don't know if you guys remember the Laura Bow thing, Dagger of Amun-Ra and the Colonel's Bequest.
Oh my God, I'm so old. I never played games.
They were actually designed by a woman. Roberta Williams designed that series. And maybe that's why it appealed to me, because I've never really been excited by first-person shooters and stuff like that. But if you give me a game where I'm walking through some kind of a world and I'm interacting with people and collecting objects, like, oh, I just think that's so much fun. So I actually think the key, the secret to getting more women in technology, this is my theory, is to have more games like that to you know, get women sucked in from an earlier age. And my secret dream, if I ever become independently wealthy, is to start my own company and design specifically computer games targeted for that audience, for little girls. So we'll see if that ever happens.
So I have something to add. This is Beth. So playing on what you just said about, you know, games for little girls and that kind of thing, I was talking to a colleague of mine in Redmond, and he had brought his daughter. It was Bring Your Daughter to Work Day. And he had brought his daughter, I think she's 9, and, you know, she's like, can I bring my computer? She brought her computer, and he was telling me about how she gets teased at home in school because she enjoys technology, this girl, and it kind of mimicked a lot of what my childhood was like, because I got teased quite a bit, too, because I liked, you know, more geeky things. I was fairly book smart, I guess, but she is very into Webkinz. And she is, like, constantly sending her dad new things with, I'm not familiar with what Webkinz is, but she is, like, big time into Webkinz.
Oh, I'm so living the Webkinz world with 2 daughters.
Keep encouraging them. And that's my whole point, is he encourages her to keep on pursuing that and being on her computer. And you know, she's what I've heard this term, I don't know if anybody has heard it, she's a true digital native. So, you know, a lot of the stuff we didn't necessarily grow up with, I didn't grow up with as a child necessarily computers, but that generation does. And it is so important as a parent or as someone who may be in contact of in influence with children to encourage those girls especially that it's okay to like this stuff. It's cool to like this stuff. You know, don't let people sit and tease you and say, you should not go into computers, you should not go into technology or anything like that. That's just so wrong. It's just not, you know, encourage them. That's all I can say.
I agree with what you're saying, Beth. And I think that it's so funny. When I was growing up, we'd come home from school and then we'd get on the phone and call our friends, right? And now I look at my youngest sister and her generation comes home from school, gets on the computer and instant messages all her friends. And, you know, she can be talking to 8 people at once. And there's Facebook and everybody's on Facebook. So I wonder if that in itself might do it. The fact that all of the social aspects and the whole, I hate to use Web 2.0, but since it's such an overloaded term, but that phenomenon might actually be spawning a greater interest. The social aspect in general is more appealing to females. So maybe that in itself will cause more interest in computers and how they work.
So this is Angela, and I similar message. I feel like we're kind of repeating a little bit, but one of the things I did right before I came to Microsoft is I was asked by a friend of mine if I would go to the school where his wife teaches, which was an all-girls college prep school, and do career day, because they had literally not one single person from IT out of about 30 folks going in there to talk about potential future careers. And which was really disappointing. You know, you would think in this day and age that you're getting to a point where that would definitely be on the track, and it just wasn't. So I got in there, and the rooms with the doctors and the firefighters and the nurses, they were overflowing. I probably had 22 girls between 3 sessions, but you know what? They were so passionate about what they did. They had websites they wanted to show me. They were asking me, like, hey, you know, how can I get into your kind of job? Because it's not the type of thing that we really get encouraged to do. And it amazed me that it's still that way. You know, I was never encouraged to do anything like that. It was something where my brother, of all people, you know, you think of your brother as being the person who antagonizes you and pulls your hair. He's the one who got me into computers. And I just hope to see kind of a lot more things where, you know, folks like us, the 4 women sitting on the couch, can start becoming a bigger part of the community and maybe going out and talking to younger girls saying, hey, it's just as viable of a career for you as it is for your brother, the kid that lives next door. I mean, don't think that because it happens to be a male-dominated field that it needs to continue to be. I feel like sometimes they just need that extra push to let them know, hey, it's just as cool for you to be in technology as it is for, you know, the guy sitting next to you.
This is Rachel, and I totally agree with Angela. I grew up in a family that we didn't have any computers because we weren't part of the population that was, I guess, had the money to have those kind of luxuries in the household. So when I grew up and I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do, I didn't think that I could be in that field or that I was smart enough to be able to do that kind of thing. I thought it was always maybe the boarding school people or the prep school kids that had the education in order to be able to do that. So when it came time to really decide what I wanted to do when somebody had mentioned trying out technology, my first instinct was is that I couldn't do it, or, you know, I wasn't educated enough to do it. And there's so many opportunities that are available to learn and to be influenced by others. And I think there's a great support system out there for women to be able to get to be able to open themselves up, to have the education, to grow in that respect. And I think everybody should take all their opportunities because it's a really rewarding field to be in, and I really enjoy it.
You're also starting to see, like, you mentioned earlier, Larry, the conferences, Tech Ed and PDCs and stuff like that, is that we're also starting to have these kind of women in technology nights, right, or dinners or symposiums, yeah. Right? So, I mean, what are some of the conversations they're having during those?
So this is Beth. So one thing that they're having at PDC, and if anybody hasn't gotten online to look at it, there's a whole another session that's going to be held there.
And PDC is the Professional Developers
Conference. Exactly, and it's happening in October. And they're having it's a close colleague of mine. Her name is Osley Bilgin. And she has set up a really interesting session with Lego. I don't know if anybody has ever heard of Serious Play. So go check it out. Go take a look at it on Live Search, and
we'll put a link in the show notes.
Yeah. So what they're doing is it's kind of problem solving through building blocks, and you know it's something it's visual, it's tangible, but it's kind of focusing on creating community of women technologists to have a rolling support system with solving specific problems in technology. And it's very, very interesting and compelling. And I encourage you to take a look at it on PDC's website.
And Legos is a neat way to reach people because Legos is, you know, kind of age independent. I mean,
exactly.
I still play with Legos,
exactly.
And I'm almost 40. So, but this is Osley Strikes Again, right? Because she was also at Mix and did something there.
Yes.
You want to talk about that for just a second?
Because
I thought it was so cool, even though I couldn't wear the T-shirt.
I have two versions of it now. So what she put together was this really interesting little initiative of having T-shirts. There are special T-shirts made just for women. And they have the Microsoft logo, but it's in Swarovski crystals and all that sort of thing. So her first one was for the YWCA. And the YWCA is a very good cause, you know, for encouraging young women to be successful in any field. So what she did was if you donated to the YWCA and you proved it to her, she would give you this really cool T-shirt that, you know, it has crystals on it. It's a girly T-shirt. It's not a man T-shirt like we always have. So what size do you want? Okay, I'll take a medium, I guess.
And that's always a problem at conferences too, right? Don't
Indeed.
You guys always complain about that?
Yeah.
The
T-shirts
that you get?
I want a girl T-shirt. Or, you know, I don't want a polo shirt that's made for a man. Anyway, so it was these T-shirts that, you know, you can give to that special woman in your life, whether it's your daughter, your wife, or whatever. So it was a really interesting way not only to promote a good cause, but also, you know, kind of show, you know, hey, you know, women can be technologists too. And, you know, technology is cool no matter what your gender is, I guess.
And honestly, I think this is really cool. And I think that it's entirely selfish, you know, when Microsoft gets involved in these programs, because if we can reach, you know, the kind of undertapped, you know, women out there who are interested in technology, you know, we're at a competitive advantage versus companies that don't, you know, pay as much of attention to it.
I think it's a problem across the industry. So it's not specific to Microsoft per se, but it is across the whole technology industry.
It's across segments of it. About the only area that where you see that there's even kind of any kind of equilibrium is QA testing, because Angela and I were at the QAI conference and it was, you know, about 50-50, you know, men and women, and then the design side of things. Mm-hmm. But I'm involved in an architecture group in Chicago, which is a software architect, not building architects, because that bridge would collapse if I was involved in it. And, you know, we've had several meetings now and we noted that it's like, racial diversity, not a problem. You know, what nationalities people are, where they come from. We've even had some Canadians come. you know, we have yet to have, you know, one female, software architect show up. And that's, you know.
That's a shame.
Yeah, that's indicative.
That is a shame. So I noticed one thing. We have something called the Microsoft Certified Architect program that they run. And I've talked to the program manager a number of times with that. And I think there is maybe two female certified architects, and one of them's a Microsoft employee. That needs to change. We need to get.
And there are literally hundreds of people that carry that certification.
Yes, and it's not like it's an easy certification to get, because it's not. But you know, it seems like, you know, it's been like that my entire career. You know, before I came to Microsoft, I worked for Siemens, and I was one of the only female MCSEs there for like the entire 13 years that I worked there. And I worked with so many smart women. You know, I mean, even the help desk was female dominated, believe it or not. And, you know, I don't know what it was that they just never really pushed themselves to go any further than that.
Well, it's kind of funny you mentioned that, because when you said that, it reminded me of this picture that my mom worked for John Deere, right? She was on part of an engineering group at John Deere. They worked on the front ends of the combines or whatever. And so John Deere back in the mid 80s or something were putting some book together or something or whatever. So my mom's in this book. Right, so like you go to the John Deere Museum, there's this book. My mom's in the book, right? But it's a picture of her with the team that she worked on during this time, you know, in the 80s when they're doing this engineering for the combine. There's all these men who were the ones who actually, you know, worked in the factory, put it together. People, you know, men who were on the engineering team, this and that. She's the only woman in the picture. There's like literally 50 people in this picture. She's the only woman right up front. And so I don't know if it's like kind of a relation to engineering. You know, not necessarily just software engineering, but just engineering in general, if it's just kind of indicative of that or what it is. And some people kind of think it's, you know, girls aren't into math as much as boys. And, you know, I don't know. That's those stories you hear. You know, it's not true at all. So it's just kind of like, once again, these stigmas and everything else. But I think, like you said earlier, is that, you know, kind of the, you know, Facebooks and, you know, the, you know, people hitting the web and getting into these social engagements online and stuff like that. You know, now they're starting to get used to using the computer. They're getting more comfortable with the computer. My daughter, who's now 3, but when she was 2, she was able to work a mouse just fine, a regular size mouse. She's able to move around, click on things, and actually drill into like the Disney website. We wouldn't have to help her. It's the most amazing thing. You know, so it's like, you know, the young girls today are getting used to using computers, and so like it's kind of breaking that barrier down.
I just wanted to make one comment about what Dave said about the math scores. I've actually done a lot of research on kind of the gender phenomenons that you see there. And the data that I've read is that girls actually tend to lead boys in math scores prior to about 5th grade. And then when 5th grade and 6th grade and kind of those hard adolescent years roll around, that's when the girls' math scores dramatically drop. So,
by the way, it wasn't math scores. It was more of my comment wasn't math scores. It was more of, you know, enjoying the subject, right?
Okay, I don't remember the woman's name, but the woman who played Winnie Cooper on The Wonder Years, what was her name? She wrote a book. She wrote a book called Math Doesn't Suck. And the name, and yeah, the book is, it's actually a book that's targeted at about 5th grade girls, the age when we start to see those problems. And what, the basic premise of the book, it's actually set up to look kind of like a teen magazine. There's little quizzes like, are you a mathophobe? There we go. Danica McKellar. There we go. Rachel looked it up. Thank you, Rachel. And it's a book that's targeted right at math, right at 5th graders. And it goes through a lot of things like the basics of fractions and decimals and some of the other math that they're doing at that time, and tries to make it really fun and uses examples that are girl focused, almost a little too girl focused sometimes. There's a lot of like shopping examples and stuff like that. But still, I think it's a powerful agent and a great effort to try to get to keep 5th grade girls hooked on math and show that it really can be fun.
Well, that's kind of my last question. And it's, you know, I'm going to start off with a comment that I have. I have 3 sons, 7, 12, and 17. And at the 7-year-old, I think there's just as much interest in computers and science and math, you know, at his age. You know, as they get older, it kind of drops off. I don't know if that's their particular age or if that's just the fact that if you were born 7 years ago in the year 2001, you know, it's going to be an equalization. I hope so, personally. You know, I hope that, you know, we as an industry are going to get over this, because it's pretty sad when Zachary, my 17-year-old, has 30% women in his programming class, or girls, you know, it's the high school age. And I go to a .NET user group the same night as his programming class, and there's 100 people in the audience, and 2 of them are women. And one of those 2 is a recruiter. So what are your thoughts? Do you think that we're actually turning the tide? Do you think it's, you know, the social aspect? Or?
Well, I don't know. You know, it's something that you said, Jennifer, about the math scores and girls kind of dropping off right around 5th grade. it kind of calls to mind when I was growing up. It was fifth grade that they started introducing computers into the school. And I'm old.
I'm older than you because it was high school.
But anyway, so that's when they introduced computers when you got to fifth grade. And I don't think there was one girl in my class that went to computers because we weren't encouraged to go into computers. So I think that it's not necessarily just in the industry that this is affected. It's also, I think, in our educational systems.
I was just thinking, this is Rachel, and I was just thinking as you said that, Beth, that I remember being in high school and, well, the boys were going to computer classes. We were being encouraged to learn how to type and take steno and have all those admin skills so that we could do something when we got out of high school, as opposed to looking towards a longstanding career or a path that would help us to stand on our own two feet, as opposed to having to think about, you know, who we might rely on in the future.
Hey, all I know is I took home ec in high school, and that was only me girls.
Thanks, Dave.
I took wood shop.
And actually, it's interesting that, you know, one of the interesting conversations, Angela, you and I, we had it via email, because you got a degree in a very, very technical degree. I mean, you got a master's in computer science. When you had sent me the email that said, oh, yeah, we learned that in, you know, compiler class, you know, my jaw literally hit the ground because I didn't realize you were that cool.
I think most people are also amazed to learn that I did an internship at Fermilab working on the Tevatron particle accelerator. I did that too. So
that's hot.
Yeah.
I know what the Fermilab is. I don't know if I'd be let in the door, but
yeah, I did some pretty cool stuff, but kind of going back to, I guess, where it all came from, like I went to a college prep high school where you would think that because it was a private all-girls school that you'd be kind of ahead of the pack. And we had one Apple IIe in the library, quite literally. There were no computers in my high school until a couple years after I left. I wrote a very well-written but rather heated letter saying that I wasn't going to support them anymore as an alumni until they got some computers into the high school, because I thought it was terrible that it was an all-girls school that wasn't really encouraging girls to look into computers as a possible career choice. Not that it was necessarily for me, but since then they've actually computerized all their science labs, most of their math labs. They have computer courses there. So I think we have turned that corner, considering that was a very conservative school, just to see the strides that they've made into encouraging women to get into technology. That really felt good to me, that even kind of the old school schools are starting to kind of catch up. So I hope that becomes kind of a trend going forward, that we see more and more schools kind of go in that direction.
This is Jennifer. The one piece of advice that I would give that I think will help make things better is to seek out a network of mentors. I think we need more female mentors. For example, the university that I went to was actually very low. I think it was 9% women when I graduated, and the number was actually falling every year instead of getting better. And I think one of the contributing factors to that was the fact that there were almost no female faculty. So women didn't really have a role model or someone to kind of look up to and see in that position. So a silly little thing, but I think it really does make a difference to have mentors like that and to see other people that go before you. And again, that's another thing that helped inspire that blog post series.
So can I ask you a quick question? I mean, because I think that the ideal situation is somebody like you, Angela, Rachel, you know, Beth, who's in the industry. Can a guy be a mentor, you know,
absolutely.
To a girl?
Absolutely. I've had many male mentors, so many people that I've learned from who are just great, amazing men. That I was able to take things from their experience and learn from them and apply that myself. So yes, absolutely. Men can definitely mentor women.
Maybe Dave and I should take that as a challenge, like, you know, go to the YMCA or YWCA, get in their mentorship program. Dave, you up for it?
Absolutely.
Rachel?
I was just thinking it also starts at home. So it's really important. I don't have any kids, but I come from a family of two girls, two boys. To treat them equally. Girls can accomplish just as much as guys can, and to let them know when they start out, encourage all interest and keep after it, because it starts there, and as they grow up and they encounter opportunities and people that introduce new ideas, they know that they can go after those things. And I think that a lot of the programs that I've learned about since coming to Microsoft, like DigiGirls and Women in Technology, I think a lot of those in the community are really important. But if you don't have people supporting you at home, then you're not as likely to try out for those things.
And we'll put a show link to the DigiGirls program in there, because that's not it's in several cities across the U.S. and it's another fabulous, you know, opportunity. Beth, I guess we'll close with, you know, any parting comments that you've got.
Jennifer, I love that idea of mentors, because I have mentors, but I've never really thought of mentoring somebody. So you can cut this from the program if you want to, Larry, but I would be happy to be a mentor to a young woman. Most definitely, and keep them encouraged, you know, to follow their dreams, whether it's in technology or not in technology. I think it's important to follow your dreams no matter what you go into, but I would definitely be happy to be a young woman's mentor, for sure. So those are my parting thoughts.
This is Jennifer. My final parting thoughts, I guess, would be directed to any young women watching this program or listening to this program, to just follow your dreams and keep with it. I've had some bad experiences in college and all of that, and it can be tough sometimes, but I think it's getting better. Hopefully we'll start to see more and more women feeling more and more confident about taking this path, and because I think that there are some amazing, amazing hardcore technical women out there that can contribute great things to the industry.
I think to add to that, because I honestly think we're all kind of saying we're all open to pretty much all these things that we're saying so far, the mentoring and you know, asking for advice. And another thing is I really did enjoy kind of going out to colleges. I've been out to the college I went to, which is not a very Microsoft focused college, but they're getting there. I went there to talk to them about IT and Microsoft, and there weren't a lot of women there. So I'd like to try to go back and possibly do some recruiting or, you know, anything along those lines. So I guess the point being that if there are folks out there that would like to see folks like, you know, Beth, Jennifer, Rachel, and I come out to places to talk to groups, whether they're 7-year-olds or 17-year-olds, you know, contact us through whatever channels, even if it's through Thirsty Developer, right? Let us know if you want us to come out, because we'd love to talk to the groups.
Yeah, thirstydeveloper@live.com is our email address. We'll find you somebody local, you know, with a Microsoft. Rachel, you have the final word.
Oh, thanks. I wanted to thank you for inviting me to join today, because while I thought I didn't have much to add as we've been talking, I realized that there bears a lot of responsibility on us as women in technology to share what we've learned and what we know so that we can help others. And I think that's a great forum to bring that to everybody's doorstep.
So to kind of close it out, there's two things I want to call out. One, Jennifer, awesome shirt. She's wearing a shirt that says "I love nerds," so that's very cool. And just we talked about your blog series, but we didn't mention what your blog address was. Could you just, you know, give that to us real quick?
Thank you. What was I thinking? my blog is http://blogs.msdn.com/whackjennifer, and I think it says something about the state of women in technology right there that I was still able to get Jennifer on the MSDN blogs, because that's all the Microsoft folks. And Jennifer was actually the most common name for female babies in the U.S. from 1970 to 1984 straight. And the fact that no one had taken Jennifer on MSDN yet was a little disturbing, because I just started blogging in April. But yeah,
blogs.msdn.com has been up for years.
I know. So it's kind of a scary fact.
Yeah, and we'll put contact information for you guys up. You know, we'll put Sales Geek's Twitter feed and all that. But I want to thank you ladies for being on The Thirsty Developer. I thought this was a fabulous show, and thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to The Thirsty Developer. This podcast is available on the Zune Marketplace and the iTunes Music Store. You can also find a link to the feed at thirstydeveloper.com. For general comments on the show or to suggest a topic, send an email to thirstydeveloper@live.com. You called him on the facts, so he had to change his statement. I swear he said mouth score, so.
We'll rewind and
go
see.
Go back to the tape!